Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
It's the G Show featuring me, Steve Cochran, as we go to Dr. Kevin Most. My friend Dr. Most, as always, you are sponsored by the fine people at Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. G, Dr. Most, Dr. Most G.
Hello, doctor.
Hi, G. Welcome.
Thank you.
She's really good so far. I don't know if it'll last, but her first 45 were strong.
She's, hey, come out of the box strong. It's very important.
Yep. Downhill from here.
By the way, full disclosure, Doc is a very good friend of mine, and I would like to think he thinks the same of me, but I just want to publicly apologize for making him my travel agent over the weekend, as he has been kind enough to put together a little golf trip for my friends and I. I don't know what I owe you for this, but I assume I'll get a bill?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You haven't gotten it yet?
All right. We have taken the topic planned for today, and because of your ability to do incredible work and extensive work, you've pumped out a whole section of new notes that are very important and very timely. And speaking of the mass shootings that happened this weekend, the stress and anxiety and depression and mental illness in this country, we want to start there. So where do we start?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, when we look at mental illness, and we've talked about it, Steve, I don't know how many times, you know, probably one of the biggest things we need to get across is the stigma of mental illness. This is not a weakness. This is not something you can just shake off. We have to understand that mental illness is something that impacts a large portion of this population. And I'm not talking about the shooter side of it. I'm talking about the other side of it. Those of us now who are anxious to get on a train or anxious to walk into a Walmart or are angry or depressed, you know, those are the things that we need to understand, that we can treat these things, and we need to make sure that we have that in the forefront just as much as we do high cholesterol and chest pain.
I referenced how lucky we are, because it really does come down to luck, because I truly believe, and I wish it weren't so, but there's somebody in this town who is thinking about killing people and going through that. And there's some other family in this town who knows that they have somebody that's mentally ill in their family, and they don't know what to do. And you can't pick up the phone and call the police and say, come take this person in, because there's laws about how long you can hold somebody over the age of 21. So what do we do about anxiety, and how early do we have to catch it?
Yeah, you know, it's important. You know, if you start to see somebody that's changed in their attitude, is afraid to do something, is afraid to go out, is always talking about it, those are the things that they're not going to walk into a doctor's office and say that, unless someone helps them get to that point. So people say, well, I haven't been trained to identify someone who's anxious, and what should I do? You know, what we really want to do is get them in a calm environment and somewhere and let them share with you, a lay person, what their anxiety is. And then at that point, you can either help them get to a point of getting treatment if you feel it's that point, at that far, almost like a mini intervention. Or sometimes, actually, just the counseling of you talking with an individual can often decrease their anxiety and make them feel at least a little bit better at the time. So we have to realize that anxiety goes all the way from just a generalized anxiety, I'm afraid to go to Walmart, all the way to PTSD and panic attacks. So there's a big spectrum there, some of which on the lower end can be treated by just lay people, you know, just a conversation. Others, and identifying them and getting them in to have professional help is key.
Doc Mark Harmon, how do you know the difference between, because you need anxiety to function, right? I'm scared to walk across the street right now. It keeps you alive on some level, but then knowing the difference between that and something that's actually debilitating someone, I think that some people have trouble differentiating the line, if that makes sense.
It makes absolute sense, Mark, and you're absolutely right. If we weren't anxious, like you said, we would just walk in front of cars. We would do things that we shouldn't do. Sometimes anxiety is very good. But when you start to see somebody that won't do things that normal people would, or that you would, or that you know that they had done in the past, I don't want to go shopping at this time because of this. I don't want to go to a movie theater because of this. When it starts to impact their daily life, then it really starts, that's the part that you're seeing, it's tearing them up inside even more. So looking for a change in a daily activity from an individual that you personally know and know how they normally react is one of the probably the biggest tipping points to say, wow, he has changed so much, time for me to at least reach out to them and talk to him.
So, Doc, this Dayton gunman was reportedly suspended from high school for writing this hit list. I'm curious for parents listening in, when do they know if, in a situation like this, when they need to call for professional help?
Edgy, that's the biggest thing. You know, with the social media that's going on right now, and parents being able to at least monitor and know what their kids are saying in social media, it's very difficult for parents sometimes because they're, I don't want to say blinded, but they kind of have seen a much slower transition than often people will see. If I saw Mark and he said he didn't want to go to a Cubs game because of something, I would know that that's a tip-off. But parents sometimes don't even notice it because it's a slow transition. However, parents should start to look at, is a child becoming less reserved, more reserved, doesn't want to go out socially? Are they staying in their room and not doing things? Have their grades dropped off dramatically? You know, if they see a change like that, then those are the ones that they really need to get in, at least to their family doctor or pediatrician, to at least start to have that conversation.
Let's come back and talk about resources, what we have, what we don't have, and what we need. It's more with Dr. Kevin Most in just a moment. Back with Dr. Kevin Most, and Doc, we appreciate your time. As always, better knowledge means better health for you and your family. Turn to Northwestern Medicine. Doc, I don't know if you know this, the website's nm.org/healthbeatnews. You get tips, research, and more. Are there golf tips on that, do you think? Or?
There should be. Yeah.
We need to talk to some people over there. All right, resources. What resources are available, what aren't available, and what should be?
Yeah, you know, resources, and this, it's a great question because there's a wide spectrum of resources. If you look at this country, 60% of the counties in the United States don't have a single psychiatrist in the county. You know, we're very fortunate out here at Central DuPage. I have 25 psychiatrists on our medical staff. And yet, if you get into rural America, we see that those numbers are zero in many places. Now, we are starting to see an increase in the number of psychiatric residencies that are being offered. However, the demand side is way outrunning the supply side. And psychiatrists then have the option. Do they want to go to the middle of Kansas, or do they want to stay in a suburban urban area like Chicago and be able to practice in a much more comfortable setting?
Why is it not an attractive major anymore?
Well, it is an attractive major. I mean, if you look at burnout, it's probably one of the lower ones. If you look at quality of life, it's one of the lower ones, higher ones. So they have a high quality of life. They have a low burnout rate. We just can't produce enough, and we don't have enough people actually going into it. So
are the universities incentivizing it in any particular way? In other words, if somebody's smart enough to specialize and maybe they have some interest in it, are they incentivized to go in that direction, or is it kind of left to be their own?
It's kind of left to be their own, to be honest with you. You know, the federal government subsidizes residency programs, so they need to at least step up and say, you know what, we're going to pay psychiatry residents a little bit more. We're going to try to make this a little bit more positive for them. Because right now the burden is being placed to social workers and psychologists, which, you know, they're wonderfully talented and their heart's in the right place people. But some patients need more than a social worker for some of the mental illness that we're seeing.
There are people listening who suffer from, any sort of delusions and bad dreams and various things, not just anxiety, but some people really know they're struggling. What do you say to people who really need to get in and talk to somebody that encourages them to do that and reinforces that they're not going to be judged when they do?
Yeah, we have to get past the stigma of mental illness being a weakness. We need to make sure we say, hey, this is just as important as, like I said, heart disease. And it's really important that we are individuals that see that, give them that nudge. Say, hey, you know what? Let's go into the doctor. Let's talk to them. Take your loved one, because I can tell you they're not only their quality of life, but their quantity of life will increase dramatically if we can treat these illnesses. And I'm not saying that you need medications. We have coping methods. We have relaxation techniques. We have counseling. We have avoidance techniques. So it's not all, oh, he's just going to put me on medicine. Some people may need medicine, but some of the medications we have can eliminate that anxiety and make, like I said, your quality of life so much better.
What do you say to kids? What do you say to kids who get up this morning and, you know, these weren't school shootings, but they certainly, if you're over the age of 7 or 8 or 9 years old, you've been trained to have evacuation drills and active shooter drills and things of that nature. What do you say to kids in the summertime who are worried about going back to school in the fall?
Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest things we really need to focus on right now as kids. And we all will easily just go to make the the simple comment, that can never happen here. That won't happen here. That's somewhere else. That can't happen here. Kids are smart. They all know we go to Walmart. Why couldn't it happen here? Mm-hmm. So instead, what we really have to do with kids is reinforce what we do to keep them safe every day. So talk about how you make them, how you keep them safe versus saying it won't happen here, because they're smarter than that and they're watching this on TV. That's the other thing, is turn off the TV. You know, 24/7 CNN since Saturday night has just been, or since Saturday, whatever time it happened,
yeah,
it's just been nonstop. Kids are sitting there, even if they're playing in the background, they're hearing that. So turn that off. Watch it at night when they're asleep, but keep them away from the TV. Reinforce what you do to keep them safe every day, but don't tell them it can't happen here, because they know better.
And when it comes to being an adult, 40% of patients with anxiety suffered through it, and they don't ask for help. It really, you know, look, you know how much I hammer politicians on this show.
Yep.
You got to take care of yourself. Nobody's ever going to be a better advocate for you and your family than you. So you got to take care of yourself, and you certainly have to take care of yourself to take care of the people you love. So start with you, right?
Absolutely. Start with yourself. Look inside. If you start to say, you know what, I'm starting to change things, it's you have to step up, because, like I said, we have ways to make sure that you feel so much better than how you feel right now. You know, we all are going to be a little anxious here for a little bit, and that's what I say about the kids, too. These news stories will be gone within a couple of days or a week, but in the back of their mind, the kids are still going to be thinking about this. So remember them, and remember yourself. You know, sure, we all have to make sure we be as safe as we can, but we don't have to be, I don't want to say hyper-vigilant every single time we walk out the door. You know, that anxiety level will be so high.
You're the best, man, as always, and it's appreciated. So if you want to see the notes, and they're extensive, as always, that Dr. Most puts together for this segment, they will be posted with a podcast of this segment, which goes up in full every Monday shortly after we finish, which is now. Doc, thank you, as always.
You got it. Take care, you guys.
That's Dr. Kevin Most.